Welcome to Friday Forum. This is Rachel Cobb for KGLP. On July 31st and August 1st, the BNSF Railway sponsored train rides for members of the pueblos of Laguna and Acoma, respectively, to commemorate an agreement made in 1885 to allow the development of rail service through Pueblo lands. The Flower of Friendship Agreement was a verbal understanding, a gentleman's agreement made between the governors of the pueblos and the president of the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad at the time. The oral agreement remained in place when the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroad, now BNSF Railway, or the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway, took over the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad in the late 19th century. The train rides, which took place on the BNSF Special, a suite of classically restored business cars that BNSF Railway maintains for employee recognition and public relations events, honored the pueblos of Laguna and Acoma, BNSF workers, and that includes pueblo workers and their families, with a commitment to maintain the understanding first established with the Flower of Friendship Agreement in 1885. Executives and staff from the BNSF Railway and pueblos of Laguna and Acoma tribal officials and tribal members, including the governors of those pueblos, took the commemorative train rides on July 31st and August 1st, respectively. The Indian Pueblo Cultural Center from Albuquerque and the National Museum of the American Indian were on board to videotape interviews and to document stories of Acoma and Laguna members who had recollections of their family's history with the railroad.
I am Greg Shutiba. I'm the tribal realty officer for the Pueblo of Acoma. I was one of the individuals that was involved in putting this train ride together. Bob Mongia came out from Kansas, and he visited with tribal administration and our office, the Department of Natural Resources. And we wanted to put this together for the community. And so Bob offered the train ride, and thus we started to collect names. And we've been collecting names for about a month and a half or so. And today I believe we've got about 300 riders on this train ride, and they're all community members. The majority of them being tribal members, and then there are some that are, you know, residents of the community.
Had you heard much about the Flower of Friendship Agreement back in 1885?
I didn't even know that that's what it was called. But, you know, having lived within the Acoma community, I remember a lot of men folk going to work for the railroad. My father worked for the railroad, and that was back probably in the 40s and 50s, 1940, 1950. And they used to live along the railroad. And him and my mom moved from place to place, including Winslow, Arizona, and probably Barstow, California. And then my father was a heavy equipment operator, and he done a lot of the construction for railways, not only on this railway that we're riding on, but others that go east and west throughout the United States.
How often as a child do you remember being close to trains or riding on trains, what with your father being on the railroad?
I never rode on a train during my childhood or during the times that my father was employed with the railroad. I'm not sure if any of my brothers and my sisters did. We come from a very large family. In numbers, there were nine of us total, nine kids, yes. But we had relatives, aunts and uncles that moved along with the railway.
In the Acoma Pueblo, how important has the railroad been in your experience to the Pueblo?
Experience, you know, just to live in there, it's somewhat an inconvenience. One in that we have railroad crossings, and they are not quiet zones. And so the horns are constantly blaring, and every train that drives by will blare their horn. You know, economic development. We have two spurs on the reservation, and I have not seen any development of that. And I hope that this opportunity today will allow us to develop those ideas. Because Acoma is a growing community, not only population-wise, but as far as economic development, we continue to grow. And I think that we're looking now into renewable energies. So if it's transporting wind turbines, that might be through by railway, solar panels, you know, it might be by railway. So we could probably benefit a whole lot more from the railway.
Periodically, do you know if the Pueblo is renegotiating tariffs or other fees that the railroad might be responsible for?
We currently have an agreement in place with BNSF, and it is called Payment in Lieu of Taxes. And it's a long story, and it's a long document to read. I actually have the document in my binder here, and I was reading it this morning. But it's payment to the tribe for passage through the tribal lands.
As I understand it, the verbal agreement that was transcribed as what is called the Flower of Friendship Agreement, ACIMA also was involved. The agreement was that the Pueblo did not want money at that time. Rather, they wanted a future. They wanted jobs for their people. They wanted, you know, other benefits that would come with that.
And that was probably true within the 1800s. As time has progressed, you know, there have been tribal governmental efforts to seek compensation for passage across tribal lands, and that has become more difficult. I served as the first lieutenant governor in 2005, and some of these topics were the issues that we were dealing with at that time, including the pilot, the payment in lieu of taxes. And there is an agreement, and I believe the agreement expires in 2012, so we'll probably have to renegotiate that particular issue again with BNSF.
Has there been any discussion of ways in which BNSF Railway could augment resources for education, coverage of history issues, things of that sort?
Well, that is part of the effort for today, including the train ride. We'll be entertained by BNSF at a dinner, and we hope to have a networking effort in place. We've brought some of the program directors and managers from the program offices at ACIMA along on this ride, and they'll be representing ACIMA on the administrative end, and hopefully we can build out the networking effort.
You're listening to Friday Forum. This is Rachel Cobb for KGLP. On July 31st and August 1st, I accompanied members of the BNSF Railway staff and members of the Pueblos of Laguna and ACIMA, respectively, as train rides commemorated the Flower of Friendship Agreement made in 1885 to allow access by the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad to establish rail service through Pueblo lands. I spoke with Jerry Gumbay.
When you were growing up, did you hear stories from your father of his time on the railroad?
Yes, I did. I was born and raised in Barstow, California. There was 9 of us children. My father worked for Santa Fe Railroad. He was a machinist. My mother was Laguna Pueblo. So we lived in Barstow at the Indian Camp number 1. And we used to travel to visit my grandparents in Laguna. So we would board the train and we would get off in New Laguna, New Mexico. And I had a grandmother that lived right there, Alice Gunn. We used to get off at her place and wait for the grandparents, and they'd pick us up in the truck.
Had you heard of the verbal agreement from the 1880s called the Flower of Friendship?
Yes, we did. My dad had mentioned that to the family, so we were more or less aware of that. I believe once he got with working with the Santa Fe Railroad, that's where he more or less heard it from, men that he worked with.
How often have you gotten a chance to ride on the railroad since your family was part of the railroad?
Not that often. I wish, you know, it was often, but as we got older, my father had retired and he went into the ministry. So we haven't had gotten on the train at all. It's been a while, but it is great today.
There are some people that might say that the railroad's a kind of religion.
I think so, yeah. It stays in your blood. As a child, you know, when we were growing up, like I said, you know, we would go every weekend. You know, it was just a weekend thing, you know, overnight, and we'd come back, and, you know, next day it was school.
Chris Luther.
Have you ever been on a train before?
Yeah, when I was in the fourth grade, they took us from the New Laguna train station in Laguna to Albuquerque for a field trip. That was my first and last time I ever ridden a train till today.
How's this compare with the train trip you had as a child?
A lot different. You don't bounce around like I guess you used to, and I know several of the kids got sick. I guess motion sickness or something from the train, but no, it's an experience, and I wanted to bring my grandson today. And I'm in this, so I guess you can say a special car with a with a wheelchair lift, and I'm riding with some people from the Rainbow Center at Laguna, and I'm glad that they put them in this car, and it's accessible, I can say, for people with disabilities.
I'm here with Governor Lewarke of Laguna Pueblo and with Bob Munguia, who is Executive Director for Government Affairs in the Southwest.
Well, for three states, New Mexico, Nebraska, and Oklahoma.
To review the history, in the mid-1880s, the governor of Laguna Pueblo, and in fact the governor of the Acoma Pueblo, I believe, was also involved, was he not, in developing a verbal agreement to give permission for the railroad to build in the Pueblo, and that was called the Flower of Friendship Agreement. How did this history become a factor in bringing together this event today?
For both Bob and I, the Pueblo and Burlington Northern meet on an annual basis, you know, to talk about issues, you know, the technical issues of fences and gates and those kind of things. But this year, Bob and I really put more thought to it and saying, you know, there has to be more to this. And we began talking about that flower of friendship. I shared with him what that history has been with the Pueblo. And it began to trigger thought for us in the vein of, how is it that we get back to that fundamental of working together? These are large organizations, the tribe, BNSF. But at the end of the day, we're all human, and we have a relationship through the flower of friendship that has framed that for us. And where was it that we forgot about that? And how is it that we renew that? And so that sparked the discussion for us to begin thinking beyond gates and fences and looking at how is it that we re-engage community and BNSF being a part of our community because of that relationship and BNSF making us a part of their community. So that's what triggered a lot of the thought and what brought us to this day, so that we're able to now begin looking forward and say, you know, we've had a wonderful relationship in history. Granted, there's been some bumps, there's been some bruises, there's been some dormancy, but at the end of the day, we have the opportunity to move forward as, you know, as a team. And so that's what this is triggering for us today, and hopefully the spark is going to enlighten us and allow us to be able to look at bigger and brighter things for both organizations, because Burlington is like Laguna. We're not standing here with our hands out saying, give me, give me, give me. We're saying, here's what we can do. And granted, we need a little help. You might need a little help. What is it that we can do to work together so that at the end of the day, those people that experience the railroad, whether it's running through our backyards or working for the railroad or receiving benefit, that it's all positive. So this is the start of that today, to begin to move down that path of doing a better job in the future.
I don't really have much more to add other than the fact that we've been neighbors for a long time. And some years ago, we tried to get a little closer. And one of my goals has been to reach out to the various Pueblos and again, become a better neighbor. Not that we were a bad neighbor in the past, but as the governor said, there are issues that come up from time to time that we work through. And it's important that the leadership of both the Pueblos and the railroad get together to work them out. And because it's beneficial to both of us. And there's going to be opportunities in the future, now and in the future, for the Pueblo in terms of economic development and also for employment. And because we have an aging workforce, and there's going to be turnover, and there's going to be great opportunities for a number of folks on the Pueblo. And so it's just part of being a good neighbor.
You're listening to Friday Forum. This is Rachel Cobb for KGLP. On July 31st and August 1st, I accompanied members of the BNSF railway staff and members of the Pueblos of Laguna and Acoma, respectively, as train rides commemorated the Flower of Friendship Agreement made in 1885 to allow access by the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad to establish rail service through Pueblo lands.
This is your first train trip?
Yeah, very first.
So what do you think so far?
That's not bad. It's interesting. I wish it would go a little bit faster. Seems like they need to step on the gas pedal a little bit, but it's fun. I'm enjoying the ride.
Had you ever heard much about the history of the Laguna Pueblo and the railroads?
Yeah, you know, you grew up hearing it and hearing the different stories about trains. My grandfather worked on with the railroads in the section gang, but other than that, we lived away from the main line and about 5 miles north of the railroad line. So I didn't grow up around the railroad, but my grandmothers were around Laguna when the first railroad came through Laguna, and so they talk about that. They were young girls at the time and talk about their experiences, what it was like to see the first locomotive come through Laguna, and they said it was a pretty terrifying experience to see the smoke and feel everything, the ground shake, and so it was quite a new experience for them. My grandfather worked on a section gang. He hopped a train back in during World War I and was going to go fight the Kaiser, and left from New Laguna to Albuquerque on board the train, and was told that he was too young. Told him to get a letter, come back. He got a letter from his parents, went back, and found he was underweight, so he had to come back again. Then finally, the third time he went, they took him, but they found out he had tuberculosis. So he never got his chance to fight the Kaiser.
I'm on the BNSF Railway business cars with Daryl Ness, who's the general manager for the Southwest Division. Hello, Mr. Ness.
Good afternoon.
There is a legacy of collaboration with the Pueblos and BNSF and its predecessors. What have been some of the important milestones leading up to this point that you think we need to acknowledge today?
Well, you know, it's just interesting. I've spent a lot of time researching a lot of the Pueblos. In fact, I've spent time in Colorado and spent time at Acoma Laguna around all these folks. And one of the things that I find real interesting is people say Christopher Columbus discovered America. And I find out that he might have showed up here, but we had a lot of people that were already here. And it's just really fun being around the all the people that were here in this country long before my generation or where I came from ever had anything to do with the United States. So this is a historical time in which, when we built this railroad, these folks were all here. So they're all part of this heritage when the Santa Fe was first begun and we laid the first tracks that were ever built from coast to coast. These people were involved, and they're in our history forever. It's a big day.
Building upon that initial verbal agreement, the flower of friendship, how do you see the events of today reinforcing that relationship?
We're a growing railroad, and I really feel that we need each other. The friendship is still there. I think it's very, very important that as we go forward and grow our business, that the Laguna be very, very involved in our hiring. And some of the people that work for our railroad, some of them work here now, and I think that's a possibility in the future. There's also a lot of industry and business ideas between the two groups that definitely can grow all of our businesses. So I think we will always have that friendship.
From the beginning of that collaboration, the Pueblos were very interested in how the railroad could help them as a people in developing possibilities for jobs.
Well, you know, that started a long, long time ago, and some of these folks I know that are on this train were what they call back before my time, before I was ever born, were boxcar babies and all kinds of things that they might refer to and stories that they've told me. And now that we have the technology, the growth, the added people, we just need to continue on and find out what it is that we can do to help each other for both their culture, our railroad. We need to still have that same friendship and ability to assist one another just like we always have. They're just different things now than they used to be. And I think it's a very positive thing that we're here together today, because that's what we needed to find as a group. I just hope everybody has a great time on this train trip. I thank everybody for coming out and taking the time to meet us from the BNSF Railroad, and hope everyone just has a great time.
Well, thank you very much. I've been speaking with Daryl Ness, who's the general manager for the Southwest region of BNSF Railway.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Raymond Concha, Jr. I'm with the Pueblo of Acoma Planning and Engineering Office.
Raymond, you might recall some of the history of how the train came to Acoma Pueblo.
I do remember my grandparents and my uncles and other people from Acoma actually worked on the railway system. They were primarily laborers more than anything else. And I remember having them talk about having to move from one location to another, especially out to California and other areas. As a matter of fact, I believe a lot of the Acoma people still reside in the Barstow, California area. Jobs took families out there, and the most affordable housing at that time was actually just modifying these boxcars. I think it was just a number of villages, not just Acoma, but also the Pueblo of Laguna. I did the same thing too.
My name is David Riley, originally from Winslow, Arizona, born and raised, also Laguna and Hopi.
What was interesting to you about coming on the train today?
Oh, just memories and then seeing who are the other people from the different colonies are on the train and our tribal officials. And just the memories, again, of riding the train.
So you worked for the railroad for some years?
During the summer times, out of high school, I worked as a reefer cleaner and worked at the fuel station, and my last was as a switchman on the railroad. I was the first non-Anglo person on the entire railroad line to work in 1969, I believe it was.
Were you familiar with this historical agreement, the Flower of Friendship?
Just in snippets and snaps that we were able to get as tribal members, but getting into college and doing my own research and different things of that sort, you begin to understand a little bit more about the nature of the right-of-way agreements. And from my understanding, it was only a handshake agreement. It's what they call watering the flowers. And in return for the railroad to go at the Atlantic and Pacific at the time was to have employment centers or colonies along the railroad line for our people and to ride the train for free as well. And that lasted up until, I would say, 69, I believe it was, something like that, and when that was cut off. So we no longer have that really employment or that to ride the train as well.
Part of the discussions that may be going on soon are ways in which that relationship can be renewed?
I have no idea. I think the council they're starting on those talks, but I have no idea what they're going to be asking for. Because as I know, Burlington Northern, just from the reports, the quarterly reports from the financial resources, they're doing pretty well. And I know that several other pueblos along the line have renegotiated their right-of-way agreements. And I think it's about time that our officials start looking at that, because we do need revenue to support our programs for our people. And the quality of life is a big issue right now.
From what I recall, the transcription I read of the original verbal agreement, the Pueblo, rather than asking for money, asked for jobs, asked for benefits, essentially.
Well, basically, as we know, things have changed since those times. And so I think with the nature of the railroad bringing in some pretty interesting hefty profits now, it's about time that we start looking at tonnage as the railroad goes through our lands, because as we all know, there's a lot of products moving through this country now, and you can see that in the trucking industry as well. Both those types of the commerce, the movement of goods, is really a big time thing right now, and we as a tribe should be capitalizing on that, particularly at this point in time.
Any interest in being more involved in tribal government?
No, not really. Tribal government or any other government moves a little too slow, I believe. I think that business can't prosper and it cannot grow with the stalling and this kind of mentality that's going on that we see in governments all over the country right now, and especially ours.
We're certainly seeing that at the national level.
Yes, we are, and it's hurting the people. And I believe that there is going to be a time when we need to start looking at different mechanisms of how we bring people into office now and really what they do and what their commitment is to the people as opposed to their party or to a particular ideology.
Any other comments, David, before we wrap up here?
No, I think that this has been a very enjoyable experience, seeing a lot of Lagunas back on the train again, and probably the first time in a while that a train has been full of Indians, which is probably a historical little fact here.
Raymond Concha, Jr.
One thing that has always been advocated for has been like scholarships. We know that a lot of our young people that do live in that area, they're always pushing for scholarship assistance. And then as the years and generations went by, some of the discussion now focuses on safety. And I think some of the safety issues at a minimum might just be like having right-of-way fences in place, because many of the rural areas, especially in Acoma, we had livestock that were grazing in the areas. So for safety of the livestock and, of course, the ranchers, and as well as passengers on trains, we always thought that was a concern. But now that safety has grown from right-of-way fences to a broader area, I think many, as you know, that a lot of the railroad at-grade crossings, that's very common. I would probably say well over 80 to 90% of where roads and transportation systems go over to tracks, they're at ground level, at grade level. They are beginning to see more bridges in place. As a matter of fact, you know, that's one thing that Acoma has invested probably well over $1.5 million in the design and project development of a bridge to go over the railway system. As a matter of fact, that's one thing we want to share today, and I know Governor Vicente and Administration Tribal Council have supported this project. All we need is about $22 million to find to do the construction, because the plans and designs are completed, it's construction ready, and this is hopefully one project or one issue that we can share with BNSF. Because I think the other thing that we've always looked at too was just the partnership, not just on Acoma lands, but the other thing that we've worked and supported BNSF was getting some clearances and right-of-way issues in other areas that Acoma has cultural interest in or natural resource interest. So I think that's one, in one way we support BNS and some of their efforts, and now we want to be able to get meet with them at the table again to see if we can work on something like this, like building a bridge over BNSF railway system at Acoma lands.
Jerry Gumbay.
When we lived in Barstow, we lived at the Laguna Colony, their little Indian Camp 1. Most of the families that lived there, we lived in the boxcars. They used to call them boxcars, but that was for families. And that's where, you know, we resided. And the other Indian camp, too, which were the Acomas, they also lived in the boxcars, too.
Aaron Short.
My father and my uncles, they worked for Santa Fe Railroad.
So you rode on the train when you were little?
Yeah, we used to travel using the train quite a bit, going back and forth from Barstow to Acoma.
And you used to stay in the camps in the old rail cars they kept in Barstow?
Yeah, they did.
What do you remember about riding the trains? What was it like the first time?
It was a good experience. It was a long ride, though. I think it was more than like 12 hours.
Pearl Eno.
So my mom got us all ready. We were just, there was five of us, my brothers and sisters. They all were, you know, very anxious to get on the train because that was something new. But we were all scared. And my mom goes, don't be afraid, you know, everything's going to be all right. We'll get out there. We were just all, you know, very little. And then we came up here. My grandpa brought us all up in his old truck. We all sat in the back, and my mom and my grandpa and my grandma were all sitting in front of the truck, and we got here to the depot. And so we all got out. We were all so anxious, you know. We didn't know where we were going, my brothers and sisters. Finally, the train came, and we got on, and we all just were all scared, you know. We didn't know where we were going, and they told us, you have to behave. You have to sit in there. You can't be running around. My mom would talk to us in our Indian language, Acoma language. And we all sit there and looking out. And then those conductors, they come by and they ask us what we want. And we didn't know what we were going to want, you know, because that was our first ride to California. And, well, we had to ride to Gallup, and they stopped there and so on, every, you know, wherever they stopped. It was really nice, you know. That was something very enjoyable. We started all running around in aisle. And then my mom goes, we're almost there. You know, where are we going? We all were talking in Indian, you know. And everybody would be looking at us, you know, because that's all we talked in at that time, in Indian. And everybody just looking at us, and finally it got dark, and we didn't know where to lay. We just, you just have to sit there and go to sleep. So we says, we're scared, you know, we're scared. And my brothers and sisters, we finally went to sleep. And when we got to Barstow, it was morning. And then we all said, where are we? Well, we got out, and then we had to wait for another train at that time. You know, they switched coaches or something. But we didn't know what was going on. We were just heading to I don't know where. And then we finally got on a train. We waited for maybe a couple hours there, and we were all getting tired and sleepy. And my mom said, we're all going to have to wait for another train so we can get out there to our dad. So we finally got on this one train. We kept going, and finally we got off at Richmond. And my dad was waiting for us there, and we got off, and it's just in Indian to us, it says, I'm glad you got here all right. We saw this big old bridge across the viaduct, you know, where we have to go to this Indian reservation where my dad stays. He goes, we gotta walk across, don't be running. We all, you know, we're all sure holding our hands together. And my mom was just, don't be running. So we all went on the other side, so we had to climb down the steps. And we finally got there at this Indian reservation. There were some people from Laguna and Acoma, you know, they had train houses there for us. We were just wondering what they were, and because it was all new to us. We were just little, you know, Indian kids. And then my dad goes, we got to stay here for a long time. Okay. So don't get scared, or you got to go to school out here, and because we're working here, me and your mom. So my mom went back to work. Yeah, she worked to clean the coaches there at Richmond. And my dad was, he cleans the, I guess the wheels on the train. He oils those. So we finally got used to it. My mom would tell us, you know, you have to go to school out here. At that time, we weren't even really talking English real good. We were just all, you know, talking Indian languages. And we had to learn how to speak English and learn how to do, you know, English way. And then we finally got used to being out there. We stayed out there for maybe about 25 years. Then my dad retired and went to school and went to a lot of that area around there, what they call that Fort Richmond. We used to go over there to play and go to the ocean up there, you know, to visit the water and all that. In Indian, they said that was very precious to us, you know, our Indian ways. So we go over there and we play up there in those mountains, and it was so nice out there. I really enjoyed it, being out there and grown up over there. And I went to Peary School. There was that one school, we had grammar school. Then Roosevelt High, that was our junior year. And then Richmond Union High was our senior year. My sisters, we all went out there to that school, to the school out there. And finally, my dad was ready to retire, so we all had to come back home. It was really interesting out there. We enjoyed being out there, and we made a lot of friends, and we got to go a lot of places there. Like we rode across the Golden Gate several times, and the ferry, you know, they have that. And we played in the by the bay, and we found a lot of shells, you know, that we use in our reservation. We brought a lot home for my grandpa because he was a war chief out here. Each year they would elect him, you know, and we brought home a lot of those things for him. It was very interesting out there. We went a lot of places. We pick strawberries out there, and we go picking on weekends, and we go to baseball games and boxings and all that goody stuff. Then we got used to it, you know, staying out there in California. And then all of a sudden they tell us, we're all going to go home right now. So we left Richmond and came home. It was very nice. That was my life.
Chris Luther.
You know, we used to, you know, have toy trains and different things. And I guess we all had dreams of maybe one day being a conductor or a fireman or, you know, we played with rocks and different things. If you didn't have a toy train or, you know, or somebody made one for you with wood, you know, we had big, I guess our imaginations were really big, to what we were going to do, you know, when we grew up.
Raymond Concho Jr.
One thing that we want to see carry on year to year is some type of scholarship assistance. Because as you can see, a lot of the young people here, you know, as being in their maybe under 10 or in their teen years, high school years, college years, there's always that need for companies, especially that have ties to Acoma Pueblo. If we can get the resources to assist in college scholarships, for example. In terms of any other programs that we're always looking at, we always want them to be aware that, yes, we do have taxation, that we want to establish that relationship to where we can continue to allow that right of way, but at the same time, at the fair rates in terms of having a taxation system in place, too. Those are things I know administration, tribal council are always looking at.
You're listening to Friday Forum. This is Rachel Cobb for KGLP. On July 31st and August 1st, I accompanied members of the BNSF railway staff and members of the pueblos of Laguna and Acoma, respectively, as train rides commemorated the Flower of Friendship Agreement made in 1885 to allow access by the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad to establish rail service through Pueblo lands. Periodically, you will hear toy train whistles in the background that the children on the train were playing with. BNSF handed out these throughout the trip, as well as commemorative t-shirts.
My name is Teresa Pasquale, and I serve as the director for Acoma's Historic Preservation Office.
How does the railroad fit into the history of Acoma Pueblo?
Well, the Pueblo of Acoma has had a very long and wonderful history with each other as partners. Many of our Acoma men served to work and build the railroad. As it was coming into this area, it was the first time when the Santa Fe Railroad was being actually laid, the track was being laid in this area, was the first time that we had access to many of the things that others in the country enjoyed. One of the stories that I remember from my father was that they were getting ice. It was the first time that they had access to ice. And he remembers as a child having blocks of ice thrown from the train, and the women would go and gather that ice. And so there are many connections, not just from building the railroad and to the things, the goods and services that we got from the railroad, but it was also a time in which women were offered some of the first jobs on the railroad. As Fred Harvey was bringing his excursion lines out into this area, some of our women worked as Harvey girls. And that was the first time that they had employment outside of the Pueblo. And it took them to other destinations, as some of our families who are on this train ride can attest to. It took their families out to places like Barstow, California, other train stops where they worked for the railroad and raised their children in those areas. So Acoma has had a long history with the railroad.
I had heard of the Harvey houses before. I didn't realize that there were also some Acoma girls involved.
Yes, there were very few. Of course, it was at a time when as Harvey girls, they had to live in the dormitory areas that Fred Harvey had for his workers. And those families that allowed their young women to go and seek employment actually went there and worked there. My mother, as well as her sister, were probably one of the last generations to work as Harvey girls. It was a new experience for them, but it was also at a time that was coming across the United States where our people were beginning to work off the reservation in other cities like Chicago and California, Phoenix being relocated. That was at the time when people were seeking employment and brought those influences back onto the Pueblo.
As you look at the history of the Flower of Friendship Agreement, as I understand it, the original, I think it was 1885 agreement, in which essentially it was said, at that time, things may have changed, of course, but at that time, rather than just throwing a little money at the Pueblo, both Laguna and Yakima Pueblos were more interested in what sort of future could be brought to the Pueblos. Jobs, transportation, and as you mentioned, those other benefits.
I think that has always been the perspective of Pueblo communities as a whole. But in particular with the Pueblo of Yakima, I think the Pueblo has always looked forward to the future to see where partnerships could be created. One of the benefits that I know that I have seen directly in my own family is that my grandfather worked for the railroad. And so as one of my nieces, his granddaughter, actually pursued higher education, she qualified for a scholarship from the railroad. And it was in many ways coming full circle for the many years of service that my grandfather had given to the railroad, that his granddaughter was then receiving a scholarship then to pursue her higher education. So in those ways, I think the Pueblo has always looked forward, looked to the future to see where we can create those partnerships. We have young college students right now sitting next to us who are going to pursue their education. And in some way, shape, or form, I could probably say that many of these young people have connections to the railroad through their grandparents or great-grandparents. What a wonderful time and opportunity to capture that partnership and to offer scholarships to these students who may not necessarily go into those fields. Hopefully they would, but may not go into those fields necessarily that tie back into the railroad, say, like in years past. But because of the sacrifice and commitments that were made generations ago, I think that BNSF or other railroad companies can see where they can capitalize on the skills, the talent, and the education that these young people bring back into the community. And I think that tying that history into their education also makes it a win-win situation for both Yakima and the railroad.
If you look at the vast history of westward expansion by mostly Europeans and the building of the Transcontinental Railroad, that history is filled with instances in which the federal government essentially was claiming lands that weren't really theirs, were essentially bestowing lands on the railroads, and resistance came from the Sioux, the Cheyenne, elsewhere, and military was brought in, in that case. Promises were made and then promises were broken. The history with the railroad, while it's related, seems to have a few differences, at least in the Southwest. Have you thought at all about how this history with the predecessors of BNSF in the Southwest, and particularly with Yakima, how that compares with what you know of the history in other parts of the country?
Well, I think there was a huge difference out in this area, and you highlight a good example. The native tribes at the time in the plains were going under different circumstances than, say, the Pueblos did, and that was because of the title of the land. The jurisdiction of the land at the time was going through Spain and then through Mexico, and then eventually this area sought its statehood. And that really put Pueblo Indians in a different category than, say, those tribes that were more mobile, say, the Sioux and the Lakota, that were losing lands as people were coming for that great land rush and seeking their fortune. here, it was different because the lands were ceded to the Pueblo Indians as part of that land exchange, as part of Spain giving, then moving over to Mexico, and then Mexico then becoming, going over to the United States. And so there were, because of those provisions, our land was held in place. And so I think that allowed Pueblo Indians the opportunity then to not have to have those worries that, say, other Plains Indians did, say, out in Oklahoma or Texas or in other states, but that we could begin to plan for our future. And that's really what is key here in this partnership. How do we plan for the future? How do we put things in place that, one, help the railroad, but also benefit the communities in which the railroad impacts? As we've been on these trains, we have traveled not only through tribal land, but we've seen other smaller communities that have sprung up as a result of the railroad. You see places like Grants and Milan and San Rafael, all of these little towns along that have been developed as part of the railroad, as workers' families have settled in these communities. And so really it is about building that partnership, because that's what eventually leads to a successful business. It leads to successful relationships, because the railroad is impacting our lives on a daily basis. And with that history, knowing that history is a key part of that, because we can see where we have failed in the past, where we are in the present, and where we need to go in the future. And I think that is what we need to capitalize.
So looking forward to, say, 10 to 50 years from now, possibly 100 years from now, what are some things that you could foresee as a result of this collaboration moving forward?
I think one of the key things that we see here, looking at the young people that are on this train today, and how many of these young people that are on this train have very limited knowledge of that history. Part of building those successful partnerships is knowing that history intimately. And I think we have an opportunity, one, to educate, not just on the technical components of the railway system, how it impacts our daily lives, but to understand what were those connections that people made long ago that has allowed us to forge these partnerships. Moving forward, I think that BNSF and other companies have the opportunity to really look at being a part of building the success of communities, in tribal communities, many of which are underserved. How do we gainfully employ people? How do we educate people? How do we encourage them to pursue higher education, quite possibly in fields that might benefit the railroad? And in certain cases, if they don't, how do we encourage them to go into other sectors of the workforce that eventually will have second and third tier effects back into the railroad system? So there are ways to create those partnerships. I think also as we move forward, the railway system has to look at how it has direct impacts into communities in terms of safety, in terms of transportation. Most of these communities are underserved communities, rural communities. We have to look at what are the transportation needs, emergency needs of these communities, and how can we build those partnerships into those future projects.
Are there any closing remarks that you might want to make, Teresa?
I, first of all, would like to thank the BNSF, all its staff, all of the great workers who have come together to put this train trip together for the Pueblo of Acoma. It's been a wonderful experience to expose our young people to, many who have never rode a train before. But I would also like to encourage BNSF to remember that we have had a long-standing partnership, both between the railway system, its predecessors, and the tribal people who built this railroad, you know, who worked hard and sacrificed. It also, as I was reminiscing to some folks earlier today, carried off many of our men to war. And so there have been incredible sacrifices that our people have made in difficult times to ensure that the railway system has continued to progress. And so with that knowledge comes a great responsibility not only to the descendants of those men who built the train, but also a responsibility back to the community. And I would encourage BNSF to remember those things and that we continue to build on those and use those as foundations for successful partnerships.
Teresa Pasquale, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much.
Governor Richard Lewarke.
At the end of the day, it's about human beings. And there was an individual by the name of A.G. Wells that represented the railroad at the time in the 1880s. Our then governor, from what we understand, his name was James Hawea. He was the governor of the Pueblo in the 1880s. And it was these two men that had enough integrity to dialogue with one another. And initially, the railroad just, you know, basically wanted to come through in exchange for here's some money or whatever the case may have been. But the Pueblo, with the governor and the council at the time, said, you know, we can't have just that. We need jobs. We need other resources. And so I think that integrity to sit down and put it on the table, and both men understood. They may not have spoke the same language, but they understood integrity. And I think that's what sparked it for us to be able to build that relationship. And like I said, granted, everything has not been perfect, but I think there's been more good things than bad. And so what Bob and I are trying to do with this is to renew that integrity as well, because I really think that's the nourishment to that flower of friendship, is the integrity and the trust that we can rebuild with one another. That's what they had, and I think that's what made it different for our area compared to the other areas. Plus, I think that the Pueblo of Laguna was much more involved in the government process at the time. There was the Homestead Act and the Indian Civil, the Pueblo Land Claims Act later on, that allowed the Pueblo to understand a little better the ramifications of just allowing things to happen. So that was some of the tools that they had in their toolbox to be able to help and have those types of discussions with the BNSF leadership.
What do you see as the future of the relationship with the railroad and the Laguna Pueblo? Given this history, given the renewal of the pledge of cooperation. Bob Munguia.
I see it as a continuing relationship. I mean, as I said before, the Laguna Pueblo is not going to move, and the railroad definitely isn't going to move. So we have to work together on mutual interests. And I think, as the governor said, there are two words that I kind of locked in on. One was integrity and one is trust. And I think we need to build on that. And I think we're headed in the right direction. Again, nothing is perfect. But if there are issues that we can work through, I think the communication process is becoming more open. And now there are issues on the Pueblo. They know who to contact on the railroad and vice versa. And that's part of this process. And we're going to have a dinner with the leadership of the Laguna and also the leadership of the BNSA Railroad to do exactly that, for people to say, okay, now I know I can place a name with a face of who the engineering person might be, deal with fencing issues or crossing issues or what have you. And so it's just a continuous watering, I think, in the future. When I leave and the governor leaves, we hope that this continues, because I think we're setting a good foundation for that to happen.
We're here on a BNSF railway set of business cars, heading from Grants to Gallup and then returning. For tribal members of Laguna Pueblo, what impact do you think today's events may have within the Pueblo? Governor Richard Lewarke.
I hope that the impact is going to be positive, in the sense that it allows for those individuals that grew up in the colonies, that came home on the train, to rekindle some wonderful experiences, because those were times that they had their parents, they had, you know, older siblings. Now those individuals are seniors themselves. So hopefully it rekindles some wonderful experiences that they had. It also presents the opportunity for young children in our community that have no idea why the railroad comes through our reservation lands to learn from those that actually lived in those colonies. I myself am learning that process, you know, because I didn't grow up in the colonies. My mother and aunts and them did, but I didn't. And so it's a wonderful education opportunity. But most importantly, this isn't about Bob or I. This is about the people. And for myself as an official for the Pueblo of Laguna, that's the things that our people constantly remind us about, that we work for them. And so this is an effort in doing for them as best we can, you know, so that it hopefully ignites an understanding that there are many ways that we can work on their behalf. and this is just one of them. And so I hope that those are things that we begin to re-educate our community on, and also engage their support in learning that history and learning how can we go forward together and begin to build some camaraderie and some collaboration and togetherness, just plain old-fashioned togetherness, you know, rebuilding family.
Could you see ways in which education could actually develop a sense of history in the area, maybe in which the railroad could supplement?
Absolutely. We've had a lot of discussion about being able to provide civil history, civil government classes in our school system, which we do not do now of our own. And this can be a huge element of it, a huge, being able to partner with BNSF and bring that component of the railroad history into the teaching of our young folks in our community. So I think it's huge. The potential is wide open right now.
Raymond Concho Jr.
BNSF has been a good company to Acoma Pueblo in the sense of understanding our needs, meeting with us, and we want to emphasize that we want to continue to work with them to share common concerns at the same token, be able to support each other in terms of what needs we may have from both sides and just to have that mutual support. Because we know that BNSF will be passing through Acoma lands for generations to come, and we just want to sustain that relationship in a good manner for our children when they eventually are be discussing and sitting at the table with them and sharing these same issues.
Bob Munguia.
Again, this is not a one-time event. This is a continuing process, and it started a few years ago, and now with this new leadership here with Governor Luarki, I can see that he's a very progressive individual, has great ideas, and he thinks outside the box. And after all, he was the one who came up with the idea of going a little further than the regular annual meetings, and not necessarily annual meetings, but the regular meetings. Let's do something a little different. And everything came together, but I see him as a visionary, and I just see that this is a good foundation to continue this whole process. And along with after he and I are gone, I hope, it's my hope anyhow, that this event today helps in growing this flower of friendship.
And we should note that the Smithsonian's Museum of the American Indian is here filming for documentary coverage, interviewing participants and so forth. Do you see that there might be more opportunities to document the stories of families who have experienced this relationship between the railroad and the Pueblos?
Absolutely. The challenge that we have right now is we have a huge amount of people in our community that live in the colonies. Obviously, we can't accommodate everybody. And as a matter of fact, yesterday we ran into a challenge because the Smithsonian was interviewing people, but there's only so many hours in a day. We couldn't interview everyone. And at the end of the day, we had some folks upset with us because they couldn't interview. So there's people that are anxious to share their experiences, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to partake in that, partake in them sharing their experiences. So I think the future is really bright here for the opportunity to do that. And my closing remarks are similar to Bob's in the sense that I am sincerely appreciative to BNSF and for allowing this initial train ride to happen. I really think that it's gonna take us a long way. This ride is gonna be a perpetual ride, and it's gonna be only as good as we make it. And so I hope that with the Smithsonian, this is significant enough for the Smithsonian to have a film crew out here participating to capture this. And I hope that someday we'll be able to meet with the CEO of Burlington and be able to share this experience, Bob and I, because it's been a big opportunity that we've embraced and our community's embraced. And I think my community is just as thankful for the opportunity. So, on behalf of the Pueblo of Laguna, I do want to extend our warmest regards to all those that are listening and our deepest appreciation to Burlington Northern for allowing this to happen.
I've been speaking with Governor Luarki of Laguna Pueblo and Bob Munguia, Executive Director for Government Affairs for the Southwest Region of BNSF Railway. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes this edition of Friday Forum. This is Rachel Kopp for KGLP.